This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good morning. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, of AM 970, The Apple, talking New York. I guess some of you people out there, most of you people know some of the headliners that we have with Curtis in the morning and Bill Bennett and Dennis Miller. And there's little old me on the weekend while they're listening to me driving around or in the yard or in the driveway or in the garage or whatever, talking about preparedness and emergencies. The show is about being prepared and how when you do encounter these disasters and emergencies in your life, unfortunately, what you can do to mitigate any further damage and also... get out alive, if you will. Some of these instances that we described over the last couple of months are literally life-saving changes and protocols. You had Captain Dan and Chief Fedorchek. They talked about that. They were from the fire departments. So that's just the name on that side. Then you had the LP and Little Paul guys, my Haiti friends, my lifelong friends now, dealing with life and death on a daily basis down in Haiti. Giving you the background on what's cooking down there. We'll do a little follow-up story with them in the next couple of weeks. They're back here in the States, and they're doing some shows and some media stuff. So to make awareness, it's been a very interesting year. It's only third week into the year, but 2010 was insane across the planet with natural disasters. Something like 300,000 people died. And Haiti was the number one casualty with that. They had somewhere about 235,000, 56,000 in Russia with the heat wave and the fires. Now we got Australia. Pakistan is still affected. My guest last week, Geesley, is we all use first names in Iceland. Remember Geesley, a real informative guy on a national standpoint about being, emergency preparedness and these international OEMs and FEMAs or CERTs, if you will. Geesley's over there in Pakistan because, like I always said, the planet it's very small. The communication and the transportation, you can get to point A and point B in no time. Deploy troops or deploy supplies, AIDS workers and health officials. But then you had Australia, a friend of ours. They're experiencing one of their largest natural disasters. In the history of that country. I know their prime minister has constantly updated the world on what's happening down there. She's been holding steadfast. She's talking about the Australian fortitude of responding and helping fellow citizens. There hasn't been as much death as they predicted. There was still a lot of people missing. I think they're coming close to 100 people. It's 100 too many. With that said, these disasters are all over the place. Now you have Brazil. They got the mudslides, the rain, which leads me into some of these natural disasters are exacerbated by human beings. Okay, when you deforest and you have mountains that have nothing but dirt on them, when it rains, what do you think is going to happen? Okay, you're going to have a tidal wave of mud coming down a hill going anywhere from 20 to 30 miles an hour. Tons and tons of rubble that's inside there, and it picks up everything and moves it with it wherever it wants to go. There was a very, very shocking YouTube video a couple of years ago regarding this somewhere in the California hills. This mountain of mud just came down the street like it was driving. It was like a vehicle. It was just picking things up and just sucking them up, like that commercial. The tires get eaten up by a certain highway, that the animated commercial. So natural disasters. It's a convenient term, but sometimes it's not that natural. It had a little help by us, and whether we just completely removed a forest and start building townhomes or paved it over for another parking lot and a mall. And listen, I know as human beings, and especially in our country, prosperity capitalism society, it's all about making money and generating dollars and moving them throughout society. I'm completely 100% agreement. We have a great philosophy, a great business model going on here. That's what I'm not knocking on. What I'm knocking on is maybe we got to scale back and look at the future here. Because the disasters, Katrina is a perfect example of not being prepared. You know what? It was a natural disaster, I know, but there's a lot of human involvement there that went wrong, went south, civil unrest, things not being prepared. People a lot of people who need assistance, monies from the government, you know, waiting, you know, medication. These things, they just add to the fact that a huge hurricane just rolled into your city and your region in Mississippi. So you're compounding with that. So you have this human element that's now part of this tragedy. Natural disasters, people are going to die there. It's just, it's the percentages. There's nothing that you can do about that. But minimizing the death, I think we have something we can do about that. If you just join us at Disaster Recovery Hour, I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. So regarding the Katrinas and, you know, then you shoot over to, forget about natural disasters, then you shoot over to the man-made disasters. Let's talk about terrorism. Let me tell you, it is here to stay. You know, who am I to tell you that? Listen, this is about the property disasters and fires and floods and things like that. It's not about politics. You know, I don't go down that path. I have my opinions, and sometimes I keep them to myself. Sometimes I don't. But, you know, being prepared for you know, unfortunately, you know, we have a big subway mass transit system. You know, what happens when the lights go out in the subway? We had, what, 6-7 years ago, we had the August 14th blackout that rolled up the entire country. People were stuck in elevators. I'm not saying you needed a kit in an elevator, but if you're in a subway, you're going home from work, you know, you might want to have something in your briefcase. Everybody brings backpacks, you know. So my guess at the end, you know, at the tail end of our program today is Paul Faust. He's got a great website, 1-800-PREPARED.com. He's got some great kits on there. It's important, you know, it's necessary to be prepared and have these kits. And also in your house, you know, there's the different sides. There's the one-person kit, there's the two-person kit, there's the dad kit. You know, he takes care of the 2.3 children, however they come up with that number, you know, size of families in this country. So having those kits are, you know, it's important. Okay, we got these snowstorms that are happening and people getting extracted from their cars and they have no provisions in their car. So, you know, it really does. It's a driving force here for the show. It's for you to be self-sufficient at least for a while. Okay, until the first responders show. But you know, first responders can only do so much. There's only so many fire trucks, only so many police that patrol and that can respond when a 911 system is getting almost shut down. Then everything gets flowed over to the 311 system. So, with that said, taking care of your own stuff. And you know, my guest, one of my guests today will be Bart J. Terulli. He's the financial advisor. But you know, I have Bart on the show for financial preparedness. For disasters, okay? What happens in your life? God forbid you go to work and you don't come back. You know, what does the kids and the wife do? Or, you know, there's a two income families now, most of it in our region, you know. So the mom doesn't come home. You know, you talk about, God forbid there's a shooting, unfortunately, with the Arizona congresswoman. You know, they went out and got groceries. Is there a plan in place for that? I mean, listen, it's not doom and gloom, but I'm just saying, you know what? The guys I have on the show, they're all about being prepared. I'm about being prepared. Like I always say, you want to meet me socially. You don't want to meet me professionally. But things are going to happen, but let's hope it's minimal. You know, a kitchen fire that is concentrated just in the kitchen, and you know what? You call the fire department. You got out of the house because you had the route with your kids where you all met, or you had a flood. You went away for a weekend, and the pipes burst because it is cold nowadays. You know, what kind of plan is in place for that? Do you need to get a hotel room? Those are the things that, you know, Saturday afternoon, say between 3 and 4, between the basketball games, like it is for me. You know, jot them down. What are we going to do? How are we going to address this situation? You know, once a month. That's all it would take. And I look at, you know, I get all these emails regarding disasters that are happening out throughout the entire world. Again, they're natural disasters, but they're also escalated to a higher degree because of non-preparedness on government side or municipality side. So, again, we just constantly pound that, and we bring real-life scenarios, or create scenarios, and then we give real-life instances and things that did happen. And how I'm a very fortunate guy because I really enjoy my job, and I think I do the right thing. I try to put people's worlds lives back together, and the people I'm surrounded by, with the captains and the fire departments and things like that. So with that, we're gonna go to a break, and we're gonna go to our first guest. So give us a few minutes. We'll come back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. Station break. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Today, my guest is a return guest, Bart J. Terulli. He is a financial advisor from Ameriprise. Bart is an expert in the field of financial preparedness, and that's what this show is all about, preparedness. Bart was on last month, and he was followed up by Michael Guidreau. He talked about what Bart said when you don't do in the financial world, and Michael has to come in and clean up the mess and bankruptcies and such like that. Bart, the last time we spoke, we talked about estate planning. Now we're really going to talk about life and taking care of what happens with your family, and if you don't take care of it, what happens with the family. Good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. This is my second appearance. I look forward to a lot more.
Many more, and especially if the Yankees win the World Series, right? We're both compliant with that one. So, Bart, let's jump right into the deep end, because there's a lot of guys, especially in my age bracket, you know, the 35 to 45-year-old bracket, the guys are starting to think about the future. And that's what you're trying to avoid with some of your clients is get going right away and somewhere in your early 20s, late 20s, and with that, with life insurance and things like that. Why don't we go with that?
Yeah, what we're going to do is take this in two parts. I'm going to give you a general overview of the basics of life insurance, and then I'll segue to the subject of last week, which was estate planning and the financial importance of having insurance as part of that. Insurance, what do you have it? Well, you really have it if you have an insurable need. That could be if you're a parent, you have children. They can't take care of themselves. You're not here. Your paycheck ends. What happens with them? You have aging parents. You have debts. You have mortgages. You want to create an estate for your heirs. Insurance enables you to create an instant estate. So most of us couldn't save $500,000 in 3 weeks legally or $1 million. But with insurance, you can certainly do that. Have an instant estate payable to a beneficiary upon your death. Now, I tell people repeatedly, please apply early. The reason why I say that is when you're younger, you tend not to have the same medical issues as you would as you get older, whether it's high blood pressure or anything more insidious. In doing so, you get the cheapest rates, premiums. Whether if it's term policy, it could be 20 or 30 years. It's the same amount as long as you pay the premium. Mm. And also, what the people don't realize is that even if you're fine, you are the heir of the consequences of a family member. If you have a member with cancer or such, they will factor that into your premiums. So nothing good comes from delaying applying for insurance. Once you have it, the ball's in your court. You can decide later on to drop it. You can lower the premiums. But the whole idea is to get control. And applying early is the way to do it.
Right. You and I were talking before the show began. My wife is a good example of somebody who was prepared. She got her life insurance policy back in her early 20s. Her dad was an agent selling Pru at that time, so it was a little more easier of a sale. He didn't have to work her over that good and scare her that much. But nowadays, this just past week in the paper, there was the Cantor Fitzgerald people looking to sue the airline for 9/11 because they lost, salaries and employee assets, if you will, for $1 billion. Now, that's just on the business side of it. So we're in a day, this day and age of, forget about natural disasters. We're talking about man-made disasters with terrorism and Times Square bombings and just things like that. So this is very relevant. You actually have a yardstick that you can go by and say, listen, you can go to work one day and not come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And what people should know, this is available. This is something that is part of the holistic plan of financial preparedness. It's not isolated. It's not something that you just pick up and buy. You integrate it to your entire financial plan. And not doing so can have incredible consequences, even disastrous consequences, for the people that you want to protect later on. Now, I often ask people, what's the most valuable asset they have? I would say 80% will tell me their home and what have you. And the reality is, the most valuable asset you have is yourself.
It's yourself, right.
It's your earning power. And if you're going to work for 20 years and your income is $100,000, well, how do you replicate $2 million worth of monies? How do you do that? So insurance is there. Later on, when you have it integrated with financial planning and the estate planning method, you know, you may have estate taxes. Well, estate taxes, if you owe them, you have to pay them within 9 months. So you're born 9 months, you have to pay within 9 months by the time of your death. Well, what if you have things that are illiquid? How do you sell a house in a down market? Mm-hmm. How do you get things out? If you have the insurance policy and you have it within a trust, and the most powerful tool is the irrevocable life insurance trust, that's a separate entity. The monies are there, and should something occur, not being part of your estate because the trust is a separate entity, it doesn't come in. Mm. So it doesn't come into being for tax purposes. So these are all things, they're a system, they build on each other. And if you just have one portion of that domino that doesn't fall down, you have a problem with long-term consequences.
Well, preparedness ties into everything. So if you're not your financial end, then you're talking about losing your home with the down market. Like you said, if you just joined us, it's a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, here at AM 970 The Apple. We're talking with Bart Terulli. He's a financial preparedness guy. He's part of the team that I've been very lucky to start gathering experts in different disciplines of disaster. And it doesn't just come down to property, which was pretty much the premise at the beginning when the inception of this program. But it's opened my eyes to a lot of things, like, you know, with the guys down in Haiti. And Bart has become a close friend now and an advisor for the show. So, Bart, what is the common theme that you see with your clients, your new clients? Because your new clients are, you know, you talk about the future, and hopefully these guys are going to be around, or women, I should say, for 40-some-odd years. They're in the workforce producing dollars, earning money.
Well, for the people who just will listen to what I have to say, and what I have to say is not based upon opinion, it's based on hardcore fact. Actuaries were the people who determined the premiums. They have all the information. They know what a pool of 1,000 40-year-olds, 15 won't be here next year. But they don't know who one of the 15 are. Mm. It could be you. So the numbers and statistics are there. So point is, what do you do? The opportunity is there. You make the application. They'll come back and make you an offer. You accept it. As long as you pay your premiums, you're protected for the life of that particular contract. So that's one thing. Also, there are people who have contracts already. They have life insurance. Ask them what they have. They don't necessarily know.
Right.
Well, I have a term policy. Well, great. Is it renewable term? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, you have to know these things because, you know, let's say education is expensive, try ignorance. By not knowing that, how we plan what we're doing for our next step. All these things have to be in order, and people have to take these things seriously. I can mention a family member who I encouraged to get a policy a few years ago. Through much consternation and delay, he finally did. Luckily, and I got an email 4 months later, with a, "Glad I got that policy," very cryptic message. What was that for? He developed a very serious cancer. Luckily he's fine, but without which he's uninsurable. So because he did it 3 months as I encouraged him to do it, now his beneficiary, whoever that is, will have the benefits that would otherwise not have been possible had he delayed. So you have to do these things. You have to get it done early. And monitor it.
Right. You know, you just said about some of these people don't even know what's inside their policy. You know, with the property damage, I'll go to a fire or a flood or a tree through a house or a vehicle through a building, whatever. And a lot of these people don't have any idea what they're covered for. So they get very upset when I tell them, well, you know, from my experience, that this is not going to be covered or that's not going to be covered. And then they get upset with their broker or their company agent, whoever they are. They need to revisit that every single year, just like the tax laws. They change every single year, right? You're an end of the business.
Precisely. And when I ask people about that, and they say, you know, I had it looked at it 5 years ago. Well, if you had a physical 5 years ago, does that mean today you don't have a trace of cholesterol or high blood pressure or anything else? These are things that are meant to be monitored. And just like you drive a car, at 60 miles an hour, you don't make a 180-degree turn, you flip. But you don't keep the steering wheel straight. You make very minor adjustments, and that's what this is about.
Yeah.
You may have a policy, and what maybe you don't know is the insurance rates now, as I'm speaking, are the lowest they've been in 12 years. So you may have a policy where the coverage you have, you can get for a lesser premium now, but you have to work, you have to review what you have.
We're going to go to a break, and we'll come back. We'll pick that up because I want to talk about some of the people. They're not. They don't really want to face their own mortality. So, avoiding getting life insurance, and it also applies to your property insurance. You know, you really need to. I mean, it's paperwork. It's not glamorous, but you know what? At the end of the day, it pays the bills. But we're going to go to a break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host Chris Plunkett on AM 970 The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, we're back. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Another snowstorm just came through the region. It's number 3, I think, for the year. It's moving quite nicely. I enjoy shoveling all the time. I'm the only guy on my block who's shoveling at 3 o'clock in the morning. My guest today is Bart J. Terulli. Bart, you know, in our country, you know, Americans, and this is just my opinion, that until it smacks them in the face, not many people deal with many things. So, Bart, what's the biggest hurdle? Why are these people adverse to coming in and doing the right thing, prudent and responsible financial thing?
Well, it's like anything else. If you don't see it and it's not clinking and clanking, why change it? And it's a tough thing. However, there are some facts here. Facts is you're going to die. Whether it's tomorrow, a week from today, 30 years, we're all going to die. That's a one-in-one chance. So this is a guarantee. Your house may burn down. Your car may get in an accident. You may lose your jewelry. Absolutely. You have to do so. But you're going to die. So be prepared or not. Choice is yours. And this is a cruel world, but it's a factual one. And be happy you have the opportunity.
The lights just went dark. I don't know. What were
they? Yeah. I don't want to be the carrier of doom, but I'm a realist. Right. And, you know, people ask me, are you an optimist or a pessimist? I said, no. I wake up every morning as an optimist. By the time it came afternoon, I'm a pessimist. When I come home at night, I'm a realist. And this is realism. You wouldn't put your kid in a room with an open window. Well, you don't not have insurance. You have to have these things. Just a couple of examples. 30-year-olds. I have two clients. Both had major incidents with their health. One got the insurance that I suggested. One didn't. So driving home at night, I'm thinking, wow, I really changed one person's life. That person now that's not around, unfortunately, mm-hmm. his wife has over $1 million. Now, it doesn't bring him back, but it makes life a bit more bearable.
Right,
so
right.
What could I have done to the other person who elected not to? Mm-hmm. So I can only go so far. Another individual who's into fitness told him, let's get this policy done. Yeah, we'll get around to it. You know the old round to it?
Mm-hmm.
8 months later, as I was doing the paperwork, he mentioned, oh, I had a minor stroke. I didn't say a word. But the $1 million he needed, he could only afford $100,000. Point is, nothing good comes from delaying. We're all going to die. It's just a matter of being a realist and making sure you take care of any interest you have, be it offspring, be it a partnership, be it aging parents, be it debt. So,
yeah, you know, it's that reminds me of a couple months ago with Captain Dan and Chief Retorchek were on the show. A kid came in the comments page and asked how he could sign up to be a volunteer fireman. And after the show, it was kind of great because, you know what, they made a difference. You know, just their talk and their enthusiasm and their realism about doing the right thing and trying to help up, you know, your fellow American, your fellow citizen, whichever you want to classify it as.
Absolutely.
So with that said, you have these two cases. Where is the norm? Why are people so averse to taking a look at this thing?
Why are they averse to taking a look at it? Well,
I mean, because the percentages, there's lots of people still walking around with no life insurance.
Right. Well, it's the same reason, I guess. They don't put the number 13 in hotels or buildings. Does it make any sense?
No. Right.
I don't see a purpose to it. However, you know, people are fearful. If they do that, they're confronting their mortality. Well, you know, every day you get in the car, you're confronting your mortality, and you walk on the street, and things happen. Point of the matter is, if you have an insurable interest, no matter what it is, if it's a child, that kid gets to the doctor when he's he or she is ill. You make sure that your child's eating properly. This is an obligation, and I'm going to say not even a choice. It's an obligation that responsible people should make to examine what they have, examine should there be an insurable need, and take the steps at that point to get themselves insured, because you will die.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, kids think about the heroes and what they want to be in life, and no one's going to say, yeah, you want to be a financial preparedness advisor and so on and so forth. You know what? You're the hero at the end of the day when, unfortunately, a parent has passed on and they came to you and you stuck them in the right direction.
Absolutely.
You know, it's again, it's, you know, we're both realistic. You know, is it you know, I talk about fire and floods and things,
yes,
like that, and it's all, you know, people get, oh wow, it's exciting stuff, and you know, and then you talk about, you know, life insurance. Okay, yeah, well, you know, it takes a back seat.
Right. But, well, you know, it's interesting, yeah, enough, which is an interesting thing. Life insurance began as death insurance. No policies were sold. Everything is the same, but they changed the term to life insurance, the multi-trillion dollar business it is. So now we have to figure out to get past that second level now and find out that life insurance, it could be protection insurance. But the point is, these are things, these are the guarantees that they're going to happen. So just explore. See what you do have. See what your insurable needs are. Take a look. What are you worth? What do we do?
For you just join us, is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. So, Bart, what is, give us something, you know, this is not a doom and gloom show, but preparedness is a part of life, and it makes life a lot more enjoyable when something goes south. And that that goes for property, and that goes for your health. I mean, I had Dr. Archie on a couple of months ago talking about diabetes. 83 million people next year, they're predicting to have diabetes in this country. That's insane.
Right.
You know, because
absolutely,
we're eating too many chicken McNuggets.
Absolutely.
You know, the kids,
yeah,
are eating McNuggets all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I see that you know, I can't say who's making McNuggets, but when, yeah, I see that bag in my car, never mind the odor.
Absolutely.
But, with that, you get somebody in front of you, it's almost like you're going to smack them around.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. It's just a matter of getting them to sit down. And literally, I don't sell anything, even though I have the promise. I educate people as to the realities of doing something and not doing something. It's simple as that.
Mm.
You make a choice. The train's coming down the road. If you don't move, you're going to get hit. If you go left, who knows? If you go right, who knows? The guarantee is if you don't move, you're going to be trouble,
mm-hmm,
big, big trouble. So with that said, anyone willing, go ahead. I'm sorry. You going to say something?
No.
Okay.
Roll.
Again, I'm very informative, very knowledgeable, very low-key. Anybody who wants to speak with me or make a time, please give me a call. My office is based in Bayside, New York, 3808 Bell Boulevard. And my phone number is 718-229-9240. 718-229-9240.
Bart, I remember last time you came in, we had a couple of questions for you on the comments page, and we can do that again. You know, people should reach out because, again, you know, they probably want the state of anonymity about, you know, just putting in their first name like Steve from Queens.
Absolutely.
You know, asking you a question. With your reply, there could, like I said before, change a life.
Yes.
Don't be part of that percentage with those two guys in their early 30s. I mean, I know now that I'm 46. One last thing, you know, talking about the financial end of it, we got estate planning, so this is rolling right into that. So
how do we,
I just want that the refresher course on how one flies right into the other.
Okay, as we spoke last time about estate planning, insurance is a key component. It's like having a car without a steering wheel. It's nice, but you can't do anything with it. You can have an insurance policy. You can put it in an irrevocable life insurance trust. What that means is you don't own it. You have no incidence of ownership. Therefore, it's not in your estate. Therefore, you're not taxed on it. However, it provides the liquidity to pay any expenses upon your death, be it mortgages, be it a business obligation, what have you. So it stays there. It's its own entity. You fund it, and the proceeds, because they're not owned by you and not taxed, and pay any obligations upon your demise.
Bart, I appreciate you coming in today. We'll talk to you next month. I got to shoot out of town for a couple of weeks, but we'll be doing the show remotely, and we'll be doing a new time also. We'll be going towards 11 o'clock on Sundays. Bart, why don't you give out the last contact information again?
Sure. My name is Bart J. Terulli of Ameriprise Financial Advisors. I'm located at 3808 Bell Boulevard, Bayside, New York. It's a geographically desirable area. you're welcome to come to my office. I'll be happy to visit with you. In any event, if you want to be educated, if you want to improve your situation, if you want to see what's currently going on, I'd be more than happy to extend myself. I can be reached at 718-229-9240. I look forward to my return. Chris, by the way, just something I want to mention to you. Anyone that meets with me, whether we do business or whether we just have a nice conversation, I work with the NYPD to the degree that anyone that does, I make a contribution to the 9/11 Children's and Widows Fund that they sponsor. So just another aside I want to bring to your attention.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, buddy. And, you know, also Bart's banner is on my website, so all you do is click there. There's a link. And, again, you know what? Give the guy a call. It's just like giving me a call regarding your property and regarding talking to me about my next guest, Paul Faust from 1-800-PREPARE.com. He's going to be doing his ramblings on about several things, some new developments in the preparedness world. Again, Bart, thanks a lot, and we'll go to a station break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company with 20 years' experience in emergency management and restoration. Our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next? Fire, smoke, water, or mold? CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. We've got answers. For more information, visit us on the web at www.cppems.com or give us a call at 201-483-8953. That's 201-483-8953. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, AM 970, The Apple. I have another returning guest. Paul is right up my alley with excitedness about the preparedness world and dealing with disasters and emergencies. I just want to say thanks again for Bart J. Turulli, Ameriprise financial planner, and also really a disaster preparedness financial planner. That's why I thought it was an interesting topic, and Bart's going to be a recurring, returning guest, I should say. Because, like I said, since the show's inception, you know, we were going down this path of property and disasters and fires and buildings and things like that. But there's a lot more involved out there in the disaster world, which opened my eyes to a lot of new things, which is, it's been great. And the show's really taken off. We're going to get back to the roots, the grassroots of the program. And I get Paul Faust in here. He was out about a month and change ago. He's from 1-800-PREPARE.com. Paul's got a great website. Talk about the disaster emergency kits for homes, cars, businesses. He's got a plethora of stuff out on his website. Paul, thanks for coming in.
No, thanks for having me again.
Paul gets jacked up like I do. He makes me laugh, but being prepared is nothing to laugh about. But Paul, so what's you know, with our storms and reading in the New York State highways and the Jersey Turnpike, and you know, people getting extracted out of their cars, has been in the cars for hours at a time, and they have no water, they have no food. This is that thing what you and I have been talking about. What's burning your craw lately with this? It's just insane.
Yeah, another, you know, really, this stuff doesn't burn me so much as, you know, excite me. It's just, we see it more and more nowadays, and I don't look at preparedness and why I got into this and why I care about it as something new or something different or something inconvenient. I think that, you know, that's why one of the taglines on the site is preparing for life's what ifs. It's not about the big things. It could be, but it's about the everything. It's about, you know, I ran into a kid a couple of days ago who's just car running out of gas, but he was sitting in the middle of the road. I had to pull up behind him, and I put up some lights and some flares so he wouldn't get hit while he was simply waiting for gas. So to me, you know, preparedness and the topics you talked about before, you know, insurance, financial planning, they're all just everyday things that if we just take a few moments of time to look at and evaluate and prepare for, they become less significant in terms of their impact on our lives.
I read this there just in the paper the other day, a truck driver got stuck in the snow and someone rear-ended him and he's dead. You know, just like that. No flares, no nothing. He was just sitting in the back of the truck, which I don't know why you would do that, especially on Route 80. But, you know, Bart talked about those are the kinds of things he was talking about. So, you know, dad goes to work or mom goes to work and they don't come back from work. So financial worlds are incredible. You know, I saw this is a really cool article. You know what CERT is, right? The Community Emergency Response Teams. It's New York City and the five boroughs are going to get into that, trying to make a big push for, you know, the locals to get involved. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I love CERT. I'm actually went through the CERT course, CERT trained. I think it's very important. If nothing more, it educates more people about response and their own personal preparedness. Will there be situations where we require CERT team deployment? Absolutely, but probably less so than just the fact that more and more people are spending the hours to go through and understand preparedness on their own, how they can make themselves more prepared and safer, which hopefully will then make it easier on the rest of us. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big proponent of CERT. I think it's great. I think everybody should go through it. I think everybody has an obligation for their own family and their communities.
I like the example the Israelis have with the, you know, everyone has to do 2 years, 2 year hitch, right? I mean, they got to do that. I mean, you know, some lawyer in this country is going to say, well, you can't infringe on these people's rights. You can't make them do this and that. You know what? It's just like being tagged at the airport. You should be able to get your stuff should be able to go through for the safety of the masses, a minority of one, a majority of all. What are we talking about, you know?
Look, I agree with you. I think it's a topic for an entirely other show. I think the concept that they have in Israel, forget, you know, whether you talk about joining the military or not, they have a prepared citizenship. When an incident happens, everybody in Israel is prepared to mobilize, and different people are trained to do different things, but it's a prepared citizen. So when there's an incident, the people closest to the incident can deal with it until the next level of expertise shows up and the next level of expertise. And they're not waiting for some guy to respond to deal.
Right.
The entire system is set up to prepare for incidents and respond to them. We need to get, you know, I think we can certainly learn a lot from that model.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was at my kid's basketball game over the weekend. This guy was talking about something. I just couldn't ignore it anymore, about the government and they're not doing this and not doing that. And I just said, you know what? If you took care of your own house, and I delivered it in a proper civil way, but to do his own ABCs and not wait for, you know, Big Brother to come showing up down the street with red lights on top of a truck or something, you know, and that's what, you know it and I know it. If we just do those little things so we can wait it out. So,
right.
we're not panicking. We're not pushing fingers. Now, you know, we're not suing New York City for $20 million because an ambulance couldn't get somewhere. I'm not saying that. I mean, that's an extreme example. But, you know, stuff just happens. You know, it begins with an S, ends in a T. But sometimes it just happens.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, that's when we started 100prepare.com. The concept wasn't survival kits or disaster kits or car kits. It was an area to build around, but I believe preparedness is there's so many factors, you know, health, wellness, financial preparedness and insurance, mm-hmm. like we talked about. Preparedness is a mindset. You know, I firmly believe that everybody should sit down and take a look at what insurances they have in place based on what their financial needs might be and what kind of things they might run into. They, you know, we almost had a hurricane hit the East Coast and, you know, in Jersey and Westchester. Are your policies, you know, set up to cover significant wind damage?
Yeah.
So I believe preparedness is an entire ideal. It's not paranoia.
No, it's not.
It's taking a few minutes. But, you know, bringing it back to what was talked about earlier, because I do firmly believe in insurance and financial planning. That's at the macro view. I also think people need to take a quick step back and look at the immediate. Yes, you need insurance for big things, but what happens if a disaster happened today or tomorrow? Do you have some cash on hand to get supplies and groceries? If you had to relocate, could you afford a hotel or motel room for a couple of days? Could you get some food and clothes for your kids? Those are more, you know, do you have money for the, you know, gas in the car?
Those are the premises of the beginning of the program back in August. We talked about the simple things that we even went down a simplistic way of, you know, do you know where your electrical box is? You know, do you have cash? This is, you know, it's insane, but, if it was up to my wife, she'd have like, she has like $1.50 on her at any given point. I'm like, what happens if, you know, I'm in the world of preparedness. She just looks at me and kind of laughs. But you know what? Those are the masses. Most of the people are out there just like that.
You know, they think some people look at me like I'm crazy. I say, oh, what happens if there's an incident and the ATMs are down? Well, what happens if the electric, and you can't use your credit card? You know, these things, what happens if you have a sudden, you know, we talked about it, you know, we just started another division or another business under 1-800-PetInsurance.com. You know, 75% of people have their own pets. Well, what happens if a pet all of a sudden has a $5,000 medical bill that you're not prepared for? That could change everything. So what I encourage people to do is don't be paranoid. Just think about it. And I read an entire, talking to some experts when I was at the Flash conference in Florida, a member and a sponsor in Flash at 100prepare.com. We're part of their group. And one of the big incidences down in Katrina, in Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, was there's a lot of people there that rely on the government for assistance. Right. And they get their, you know, I don't know the exact date, so I'll paraphrase, but they get their money, their checks on, let's call it a Friday. Well, and I don't remember the exact dates, but the hurricane happened on, let's say, a Wednesday. So there were people down there that had literally $0 because they hadn't received their check from the government. That was a major issue for the government. They had thousands of people who didn't have a nickel to their name, couldn't leave, couldn't buy food, couldn't buy shelter, couldn't get out. They're now putting programs in place to change that because they've thought about it. It was something no one thought about. What if the system breaks down?
Yeah. Well, you know, you also can throw in, you know, especially Katrina, you had a lot of non-healthy people. You know, transporting people who were either housebound or wheelchair bound or whatever. But, you know, health has a lot to do with, you know, the Giants or the Jets, you know, those guys are doing well. I mean, they're healthy. These, you know, to play ball, you need to be healthy. To survive a disaster, you should relatively have some form of better health or a contingency plan to deal with grandma who lives in the basement apartment.
Hey, look, you know, in Katrina, we saw that, you know, one of the first things to go, one of the first things that they actually tried to get back open with armed force, meaning guys with guns, was the Postal Service. Why? Because there were thousands of people that relied on getting medications to survive. So they hadn't thought about, well, okay, we had this massive thing. All right, you know, let's get them out, let's evacuate them. But we needed to get supplies to these people. So they actually went in there with marshals and soldiers to open the Postal Service. These are things that, if you just step back for a second, I was at a conference, and one of our advisors, General Russell Honore, he was talking about, all these places were going to flood and people couldn't evacuate. So why didn't all the car dealers just start handing out keys? All these cars were on the lot. They're going to be ruined. We're going to pay for them anyway. Car dealers, hand out keys and let people drive them north. You know, deal with it up north.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Your insurance broker is not going to like that.
No, but I mean, but you just think, I'm talking to, you know, can you really implement it? Maybe. But here we have a situation where it just, if we had a plan in place, we could evacuate people. These are all things I talk about.
Paul, it was a quick stop today. We'll do an entire show, Paul and I, and we'll, you know, that's really about it. It's another good show. Disaster is still happening across the world. It's our war. Let's bring home our troops. God bless our country, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
You've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 7 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.